In Luke chapter 15, the Savior sat with sinners as the scribes said, "Shame. Shame on you," they said, "for eating with tax collectors and sinners. You claim to be holy, you claim to be righteous, you claim to be the Son of God, but here you are. Here you are receiving sinners, eating with tax collectors, and fraternizing with these fools as if it's no big deal." Here in Luke chapter 15, as the Jewish religious leaders make these accusations against Christ, he responds to their concerns by telling a series of parables. Here in Luke chapter 15, as these Jewish religious leaders make all of these accusations against Jesus, he responds by telling a series of earthly stories that have heavenly meanings. A series of stories that all deal with the lost. He begins by telling the parable of the lost sheep. He tells this story about a shepherd who had 100 sheep. This shepherd has 100 sheep and one goes astray. And the text tells us that when this happens, the shepherd leaves the 99 behind in search of the one. And when he finds the one, he throws it over his shoulders, he takes it home, and he invites all of his friends, all of his family members, and all of his neighbors to his house to rejoice and celebrate over this one sheep that was formerly lost and is now found. The question that we ask ourselves is, what is the point of the parable? The point of the parable of the lost sheep is there is more joy. There is more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Here in Luke chapter 15, as these Jewish religious leaders are making all of these accusations against Christ, he tells a series of parables. He tells a series of stories that all deal with the lost. Here in Luke 15, we see the first parable that Jesus told was the parable of the lost sheep. He then moves on to tell the parable of the lost coin. He tells this story about a woman who had 10 silver coins. She has 10 silver coins and she loses one. And the text tells us, after she lost this coin, she searches her house. She searches her house diligently until she finds that one lost coin. And the text tells us after she finds this coin, she takes it home and she, just like that shepherd did, invites all of her friends, all of her family members, and all of her neighbors to her house to rejoice and celebrate this coin that was formerly lost and is now found. And so again, we ask ourselves the question, what is the point of the parable? The point is this: there is more joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents than over those who have no need of repentance. Here in Luke 15, Jesus tells a series of parables that deal with the lost. The parable of the lost sheep, the parable of the lost coin, and third and finally, he tells the parable of the lost or the prodigal son. And this is what we're going to focus our time and attention on this morning. If you have your Bibles, we're going to get started in Luke chapter 15 and verse number 11. It's good to see all of you out today. It is good to be with you all. We have a good crowd here this morning. We have several who are out, but we have a few guests with us. We really, really appreciate your presence. We hope that you stick around after services so that we can get to know you better, and we hope that you leave here just as encouraged as we are that you are here. We will begin this morning in Luke chapter 15, examining the parable of the prodigal son. Here in Luke chapter 15, just after Jesus has finished sharing the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin, he moves on to talk about the parable of the lost son. In verse 11, the text says, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "said, 'There was a man who had two sons, And the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And so the text says that the father divided his property between them. The father divides his property between his youngest son and his oldest son. Verse 13 continues, not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and he took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. Here in this passage, Jesus tells the story of a father. He tells the story of a father who has two sons, the younger of which demanded that his father give him his share of his inheritance then and now. Here in this passage, we see that this youngest son left his father's home. This was an incredibly disrespectful and distasteful demand that this youngest son made to his father. Father, I want my share of the inheritance now. It was as if this youngest son was saying to his father, Daddy, hurry up and die so that I can have all of the property, I can have all of the wealth, I can have all of the possessions, I can have all of the land, I can have all that you have set aside for me at the point of your death now. I want it now. It was an incredibly disrespectful request, but we see in this passage, it was a request that his father was willing to grant. His father gave him his share of the inheritance then in that very moment. And the text goes on to tell us in verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property on reckless, wild, or prodigal living. Here we see that this youngest son takes all that his father gave him, and he goes off to a place. He leaves his father's home, and he goes to a place that was far away. It was far away from any friends. It was far away from any family members. It was far away from any neighbors. It was far away from anyone who would hold him accountable for the things that he had planned to do. He leaves his father's house, and the text says that he squandered, or he wasted his possessions on wild, reckless, or prodigal living. This word prodigal comes from the Greek word asatos. Paul uses this word in Ephesians chapter 5 when he is referring to drunkenness. Peter uses this word in 1 Peter chapter 4 when he speaks about the heathens living in a flood of dissipation. And we have some insight into the lifestyle of the prodigal son here in Luke chapter 15 when the oldest son says to his father, Father, your youngest son has devoured your property with prostitutes. So here we kind of have a description of the type of life the prodigal son had when he left his father's home. He left his father's home. He went on a journey to a faraway place where he had no friends, no family, and no one to hold him accountable. But not only that, as we examine this parable, of the lost or the prodigal son, we learn that the prodigal son not only left his father's house, but the prodigal son lost it all. In Luke chapter 15, starting verse 11, the text says that Jesus said there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And so he divided his property between them. Not many days later, the younger son gathered all that he had, and he took a journey into a far country, and there he squandered his property in reckless living. Verse 14, and when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. Here in this passage, we see that this youngest son leaves his father's home and he loses it all. He has spent everything. He saved nothing. He had absolutely nothing. He wasted all of his possessions. He was in a dire, desperate, and dismal situation. He was in this dire, desperate, and dismal situation because he had left his father's home. He had went far away from his support system. He was in unfamiliar territory. He was in a foreign country. But not only did he have no familial support, but here in this passage we learn that he wasted all that he had. He had no money. He did not have a pot to pee in. But not only that, here in this passage we learn he was far away from his home, he had no support, he had no money, and he was living in a severe famine. Food and water was scarce. Famines were difficult for rich people. Famines were difficult for wealthy people. Famines were difficult for people who had a whole lot of friends, a whole lot of family, and a whole lot of support. Famines were difficult for those type of people. Could you imagine? Could you imagine how difficult this famine must have been for this young man? This young man who was far away from home. This young man who had no support. This young man who had no possessions. Could you imagine how tragic his life must have been? Here in Luke chapter 15, Jesus tells a sad story. He tells a sad story of a young man. Of a young man who was so eager. He was so desperate to leave his father's home that he said to his father, "Father, hurry up and die. Hurry up and die so that I can have my inheritance now. Matter of fact, just give it to me. Give me my inheritance now." His father gives him his inheritance. This young man leaves. He goes on a long journey to a faraway place. He squanders his possessions on riotous living. He spends all of his money on alcohol. He spends all of his money on drinking parties. He spends all of his money on prostitutes. He lives this godless, immoral life. And now he is afflicted by a severe famine. And so we would think to ourselves, if I had hit rock bottom, if I had no money, if I was hungry, and if I was thirsty, I would say, okay, I want to go back home to my father. I'm going to ask my father for forgiveness. I'm going to just try to make things right with my daddy. I'm going to pray to God and ask the Lord for forgiveness. And I'm going to start all over and do better. That's what many of us would do in such a situation. But here we see the prodigal son doesn't do that immediately. We know the story later on he does, but not now. Not now. He left home, he lost it all, and then he tried to look for work. He tried to take matters into his own hands. He tried to solve the problem. He tried to fix the problem on his own. The text says in Luke chapter 15 and verse 14, "And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So, verse 15, he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs." When he had hit rock bottom, he didn't immediately go back home. When he hit rock bottom, he looks for work. He tries to take matters into his own hands. He tries to find comfort. He tries to find satisfaction in the things of this world. The text says that he hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country. He joined himself with a foreigner. He joined himself with a Gentile. We know this because this citizen that the young man hired himself with had him out in the fields feeding pigs. Something that was shameful for any young Jewish elite to engage in. Boy, oh boy, has he really messed up. He leaves his father's home, he loses it all, he looks for work, and he longs for more. He realizes that there's no joy and satisfaction in this type of life. There's no joy and satisfaction in this type of work. There's no fulfillment. There's no happiness in being out away from his father's home feeding swine. The text says in Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 15 and verse 14, when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. Verse 16, and he was longing. He was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. He's been hired by this citizen. He's been hired by this foreigner. He's been hired by this Gentile to go out into the fields and feed swine. And as he's feeding this swine, he's looking at the swine and thinking to himself, man, these pigs have it so much better than me. These swine are so much more satisfied than me. I wish I could eat their pods. I wish I could eat their husks. I wish I could eat the foods that the swine are eating. Their lives are so much better than mine. The King James and the New King James Version says that this young man gladly would have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. These words, he longed to eat the food that the swine ate, meant that this young man was lusting. He was lusting after swine. Again, what an awful, terrible, and tragic situation he was in. He has left his father's home. He has lost it all. He has looked for work. He longs for more. And thankfully, he begins to listen to his heart. In Luke chapter 15, starting in verse 14, the text says that when this young man had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17, but when he came to himself, some translations say when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. As he's wallowing in the mire with the swine, he comes to his senses. He comes to himself. He begins to listen to his heart. And he remembers how good he once had it. He remembers how well his father took care of him. He remembers how much his father loved him. He remembers the type of love, care, and concern that his father had to even his father's servants. This young man begins to remember what his father taught him. He remembers what his father taught him about heaven. He remembers what his father taught him about God. He remembers what his father taught him about sin. And he realizes that he has messed up. He has disrespected his father. He has sinned against his father. He has disrespected his God. He has sinned against God. This young man begins to listen to his heart, and he resolves to do better. He tells himself that he will do better, but his actions spoke louder than his words. He listened to his heart, and he lamented and repented. In Luke chapter 15 and verse 17, the text says, but when this young man came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I, verse 18, will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And so, verse 20, he arose and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. When this young man had hit rock bottom while he's wallowing with the swine in the mire, he has a come to Jesus moment. He comes to his senses. He listens to himself. He listens to his heart, and he realizes that he has messed up, and he realizes that he needs to go back home. And so we see in this passage that he takes that journey back home. He's probably thinking to himself, man, I've messed up. Man, my dad's going to kill me. I don't know how I'm going to make this up. I just hope and pray that my father will just let me be one of his hired servants. His head is probably bowed down low. His eyes are likely full of tears. When suddenly he feels this warm embrace, and he looks up, and it's his father. It's his father hugging him. It's his father kissing him. It's his father rejoicing over him. When he sees his father, he begins to lament. He's pouring out his heart to his father. Father, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I've sinned against you. I've sinned against God. I've failed you. I've disrespected you. Lord, Father, Father, please forgive me. Please accept me back into your family, not as your son. I'm unworthy to be called your son. Just accept me as one of your hired servants. While this young man speaks, his father interrupts him. He doesn't even finish repenting. The text says in verse 21 that the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He didn't even get to the point of saying, treat me as one of your hired servants. His father, verse 22, said to his servants, the text says, but the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate, for this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to celebrate. How incredible! How remarkable! How fascinating is this? This young man who has disrespected his father, this young man who has disgraced his father, this young man who has sinned against his father, this young man who has despised his Lord, this young man who has turned his back on his family and his faith, returns home, and his father is not upset, his father is not angry, his father does not beat him, his father does not kick him out of the family. His father shows him a tremendous amount of love. He loves his son. Before the son could even say to his father, Father, just treat me as one of your hired servants. Just let me be a slave. Before he could even make that statement, the father interrupts him. And he says to his servants, bring me the best robe. Bring me a ring. Put shoes on his feet. Let's take care of my son. I'm so thankful that my son has returned. I'm so happy that my son has returned. I'm so full of joy that my son has returned. He was once lost, and now he has been found. What love. What love, care, and attention this father showed to his prodigal son. As the story continues, the text says in verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard music and dancing, and he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But, verse 28, he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him. But he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I have never disobeyed your command, yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him? And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this your brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. What a beautiful story. What a beautiful story that Jesus tells that gives us a grand image of our Father God. Here in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the lost or the prodigal son is consistent. It is consistent with all of the other parables that Jesus told in this chapter that deal with the lost. In the parable of the lost sheep, that shepherd left the 99 in search of the one. And when he found that one, he invited all of his friends and all of his family members and all of his neighbors to his house to rejoice and celebrate over that one sheep that was formerly lost and was now found. And the point of that parable was there's more joy in heaven over that one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who don't need repentance. In the parable of the lost coin, we have that woman who scoured her home in search of that one coin. And when she found it, she rejoices along with all of her friends, all of her family members, and all of her neighbors. And again, the point was, there's joy in heaven. There's joy in heaven over that one sinner that repents. And we see it here again. We see it here in an incredible way. In the parable of the lost son, we see a father who is rejoicing over his lost son. He rejoices more over that lost son that has returned home than over the son that stayed in his home. What a beautiful, beautiful picture that Jesus paints of our Father God. This year, our congregation has been engaged in the theme, How Great Thou Art. And each month, Cloyce and I have presented lessons that deal with a different attribute of the nature of God. And so, this morning, as we continue this theme, for just a few more moments, we are going to consider our Father God. Our Father God, who has an incredible amount of love for his children. He has an incredible amount of love for his children who often leave home. At some point in our lives, we all leave home. And when I say leave home, what I'm saying is we drift away. What I'm saying is we leave the fold. What I'm saying is we sin. At some point in all of our lives, we all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We leave home and we live it up. Like this prodigal son did, we live it up. It may not be to the extent that he did, but we satisfy our fleshly desires. We are led away and enticed by our own desires and we sin. We live it up and at some point we all hit rock bottom. We lose it all, whether it be our friends, whether it be our family members, whether it be our wealth, whether it be our job. Something is going to happen to us that causes us to lose it all. And unfortunately, when these times come, we, like the prodigal son, strive to look for work. We strive to take matters into our own hands. We try to fix the problem on our own. We give ourselves to drugs, alcohol, sexual promiscuity, perhaps our work. We give ourselves to the pursuit of worldly wisdom and education. And in the end, we realize that there is no joy, happiness, and satisfaction found in these pursuits. We long for more. We realize that wealth, prosperity, earthly wisdom, and all of these things in life under the sun will not give us lasting joy and happiness. Hopefully, when we realize that there is a void in our hearts, we, like the prodigal son, will listen to our hearts. We will listen to our hearts and remember how good we had it in the family of God. We will listen to our hearts and remember how much peace, comfort, and security we found in our lives when Christ was the center of our lives. May we listen to our hearts, lament, and repent. When we hit rock bottom, may we realize that joy, happiness, and satisfaction can be found in a right relationship with our Father God. Our Father God who will accept us. Our Father God who will love us. Our Father God who will care for us. Our Father God who will extend a tremendous amount of grace, mercy, and love. It is so wonderful that we have a God who forgives to the uttermost. We have a God who forgives and He forgets. We have a God who will remove our sins and He will remove our trespasses. And He will shower us with love all of the days of our lives if we stick with Him. I'm so impressed by the number of passages in Scripture that speak to the type of love, grace, and mercy that God has for His children. In Zephaniah chapter 3 and verse 17, the prophet Zephaniah says that the Lord your God is in your midst. He is a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by His love. He will exult over you with loud singing. What a beautiful description of our Father God who rejoices and He celebrates and He loves His children. All throughout Scripture, we see the love that God has for His children. John chapter 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life." John 16 and verse 27, "For the Father Himself loves you because you have loved Me and have believed that I came from God." In Romans chapter 5, the Apostle Paul writes, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would even dare to die, but God has demonstrated His love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." John would say in John 14 and verse 23, "If anyone loves Me, he will keep My word, and My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Luke 6 verse 36, "Be merciful just as your Father is merciful." Ephesians chapter 2, "God being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, He has made us alive together with Christ." 1 John chapter 4, "So we have come to know and believe that the love that God has for us, God is love, and whoever abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him." And finally, in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, John would write, "See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God." It is a tremendous blessing, it is a tremendous privilege to call ourselves sons and daughters of God. We are not worthy. We are not worthy to call ourselves sons and daughters. We have all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. It was our hypocrisy that caused Christ to be slapped. It was our hatred that caused Christ to have a blindfold upon His eyes. It was our unrighteous deeds, it was our ungodliness, it was all of the horrible, awful, wicked things that we have done that caused Christ to be spit at, slapped, mocked, nailed to a cross to pour out His blood. It was all the things that we have done that caused Christ to die. But despite our sins, despite our shortcomings, despite our transgressions, God has extended love, grace, and mercy to us. He has extended love, grace, and mercy to those who call upon Him. He has extended love, grace, and mercy to those who walk in step with Him. He has extended love, grace, and mercy to those who lament and repent and return to Him. And when we return to Him, He showers us. He showers us with love. He celebrates. He rejoices. And instead of calling us servants, instead of calling us slaves, instead of calling us scum, He calls us sons and daughters. What a wonderful, loving God that we serve. In Luke chapter 15, after Jesus shares this series of parables with the scribes, Pharisees, and Jewish religious leaders, they're likely walking away in shame as they consider how truly unworthy they are to have a God who is so loving, so gracious, and so kind. May we never, ever, ever forget the matchless love that God has for His children.
If you are here this morning and you are not a Christian, we invite you to respond to the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Believe that He rose as King of Kings and Lord of Lords so that you could have eternal life. Respond to that by having your sins washed away in the watery grave of baptism, rising forth, walking, living every day in newness of life. If you've done that before, but you've fallen away and you've made mistakes, and you would like to make things right this morning, or if you have any other spiritual need that we can help you with, please come to the front while we stand and sing the song of invitation.